Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today. Documentary director of 30 for 30 is What Carter Lost, Adam Hutnick, with Gina Grad on news and Walt Bryan on sound effects. And now, when you're listening to him, the whole world is delicious. Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share. I just got back from Nashville and the other place there, Minneapolis, yeah. And hung out with all the couples and a father and son last night. Love that. Love that you share. All talked to all the people. Like, I got my dad into it. Now he's a bigger blah, blah, blah. Good to see you, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Too much honey will mess up your tummy.
I had a weird little sort of moment because when you're in loves, the whole world's delicious is, all right, so let me try to unpack that.
Please.
Gary probably has the commercial. Do you have the commercial with the song? So I grew up in the Valley, and I would see these commercials like, hey, I'm the skipper from Gilligan's Island. Come on out to my crab shack. And I would just watch these commercials and go, because my family's so horrible, I just go like, who could ever possibly afford this luxury? Like, who? Maybe, I guess, someone, if they sold all their belongings and they were riddled with cancer and they had like one last meal. I didn't know that people just went to dinner and stuff. And even this place, it was off the 101 in like Reseda, and you could always see it off the 101 in the San Fernando Valley when you were coming from, like, I don't know, Reseda, Canoga Park, whatever, those White Oak, all the sort of West Valley stuff. And it'd be by the side of the freeway. It was basically like a notch and a half up from a Sizzler. It was called Love's, like Love's Steakhouse. It'd be the equivalent to going to an Outback with your family today. Mm. But because it had a sign and roofing and windows and stuff and a commercial, it was like, oh my God, who eats there? And it was one of the many places you just drive past. Just drive.
Put your hands up against the window.
I should have been transported like a porpoise where they put the blinders on you and someone just keeps spritzing you with water, but you can't see things. You don't want to get agitated.
You wake up at the zoo.
I should have just climbed in the back of my mom's VW Squareback and put like I was being abducted by ISIS or something. And have someone just put blindfold on me and squirt me with water because it's hot in the San Fernando Valley.
Honey, don't forget your seatbelt, your pillowcase on your head.
Yeah, we just drive up and down like the 101. I go, look at that restaurant. Look at that. Look at that. And you see all the signs. Oh, look, there's an In-N-Out burger. What's that like? You know, this was when you're in loves, the whole world's delicious. And it was a Love Steakhouse. Gary, I'm sure this is going to get screwed up somehow, but let's see it. And I'll tell you why.
Do you just want the song?
You can. Let me see the commercial. I looked at this as really high-end, upscale eating for, like, maybe a graduation or bar mitzvah or something. Yeah.
Love's all rib combination is for rib lovers. They start with super salad and hot bread, then add juicy slow-cooked beef ribs. Love's famous barbecued beans, corn on the cob covered in butter, then delicious short ribs,
ooh,
a baked potato with real sour cream, and to top everything off, tangy pork ribs.
Wow!
When you're in Love's, the world's delicious.
Now, my mom was in the kitchen yelling freak out, wearing a Billy Jack hat, and I had a freezer and fridge full of like 12 sprouted bread, you know, that you had to cut with a chainsaw.
I was like, not pun intended, how off the menu were ribs
three
ribs.
Strikes. Meat is murder.
Yeah.
Cost money, brought joy.
Yeah, taste delicious.
Strike one, strike two, strike three, and you're out. Like, there was no ribs. Ribs were fun. A little bit expensive, super yummy.
Indicated a good time,
yes,
celebration.
Indicated community.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were just basically, do we have to sit down and watch Billy Jack or Roots again to explain how ugly this is?
You shut holding up, I don't eat your sprouts.
Yes.
Was this before color correction? Because it didn't look that good.
It didn't matter. Like, okay, it wasn't that good. It was just
ribs on TV.
Yeah.
So I remember the Super Bowl motocross is coming in town and they're having the drag races. Orange County International Raceway and all this stuff. And I just watch all these commercials, but there was no such
attendance.
Thing as ever going to anything or doing anything. And, I was in Nashville this morning.
Oh, wow. You had the bends
and
the ribs everywhere.
Oh, did we eat some? Oh, I got to tell you, I'm gonna blow everyone's minds in a few seconds, but I woke up in Nashville. It's gonna be longer than that.
Oh,
I woke up at AV Ed's parents' house.
Oh,
Ed,
yeah,
who does all the AV stuff here, his parents are from Nashville, and he's like, "Stay at our parents. My parents are out of town. Stay at their house." So we all stayed there. Went out and did the show in Nashville. It was great. The fans were great. Everything was great. Got done signing and got out of there at like 10:30. Walked and went to a great barbecue place called Martin's. I'll tell you about that in a second. We're looking at a picture of their smoker.
The walls are stained with smoke.
When you lift up the big iron lid, there's a full pig splayed out inside of each one of these smokers we're looking at. But they full pig meat August. Here's the point. I'm staying at his house, and we did the thing we always do, which is go out, do the show, sign the autographs, get out of there about 10:30, and then it's like, hey, we're in Nashville for another 11 hours or 7 hours or something like that. So we go do up the barbecue, and we do
late
it up,
night.
And by the time we get back to the folks' house, it's about 12:30, and by the time we get into bed, it's about 1 and change. And Mike Lynch is coming with us to the airport, and he's in charge of waking everybody up at 4:45. No, 5:45? No, 4:45. I can't even remember anymore. Either way, zero sleep. Yeah, I think it's 5:45. I think we had to be, that's it. All right, we had to be on the road. He's going to wake everyone up at 5:30. Sorry, went to bed at like 1:30. He's going to wake up at 5:30. We're going to be wheels up. Another thing to complain about. Anyway, he this morning comes into my room at like 5:30 and shakes my leg. And when I pop up, in my head is, when you're in Love's, the whole world's delicious, which is an interesting
thing.
It's
a regional commercial, right? This is not a national chain.
I don't know how, Gary, you got to figure out how big and wide Love's ever got to.
Dreaming about it.
But I wasn't dreaming about it. It was a weird thing.
Later.
I wasn't dreaming about it. I was dreaming about something else. I know, because when he hit my foot, I incorporated it into my dream for 2.5 seconds. I'm like, oh.
Why is this porn star shaking my foot?
Right. And then I got up and I went, and you're in Love's? The whole world's... And so when Dawson just said it, it freaked me out because I didn't do the math.
that Lynch was there.
Lynch fed it to him, and I'm totally sleep-deprived, and we hit the road so early. It was dark and everything else. You know what I like? I'll tell you this. We were... this is all I'm looking for out of this, out of a nation. Really out of a nation. I've been listening to some lectures and guys talk and reasons why, like, Russia doesn't work. Russia's kind of failing. And why is Russia failing? Because it's corrupt. Mm. Like, all these places, these Central American countries, South America, parts of Mexico and stuff, when you're corrupt, nothing works. And the answer is, it's not that nothing works because you're corrupt. It's that nobody starts new businesses.
Nothing can work.
Nobody, everyone goes, it's corrupt. I'm not starting a new business. Why should I open a restaurant and, like, bust my ass when I'm just going to end up having to pay everybody off? So it's not, you think of it as, well, it doesn't work because it's corrupt. It doesn't work because it's a system that prevents any entrepreneurship. Like, no one's going, I'm going to Russia. Right. I'm hanging my shingle up. I'm going to El Salvador. I'm going to open that business. Like, they don't want to do it because of the corruption, and that stymies everything. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, what causes what? But anyway, we're sitting around. So we're sitting around and we're in kind of in the sticks outside of Nashville, and we have a 7:05 flight this morning. We want to get to the airport at, 6:05 or whatever that is. And we're about 20 minutes out, and this is Sunday morning. So we're all sitting in AV Ed's house, me, Mike, and Mike, at like midnight going, do we call a cab at 5:30 in the morning, or, like, do we call an Uber at 5:30 in the morning, or can we call somebody? How do we know the Uber guys coming out to the sticks? Right. Like, we're down a road, and it's Sunday, and we're telling this guy to come here in the dark at 5:30 in the morning. What do we have to wait? What if they go, I'm an hour out, or what? No cabs coming for till 7, or we're going to miss our flight. And anyway, the Love theme song goes through my mind. Let's see. Suggests Loves were confined to Southern California. It must have got bought up, turned into Dupars or Sizzlers or something. But anyway, so at 5:45, this dude in this new Honda, kind of rednecky, kind of Southern dude, pull up. He's the Uber guy. This comes in. We all jump in. He's driving us to the airport. Friendly chap. Telling us he used to live in Van Nuys, California, and blah, blah, blah. Talked to him for a few minutes. And then I say, like, how's it work Sunday? I like getting up early, and I like seeing the sunrise. And which meant tweaker to me.
But he, haven't been asleep yet.
I was like, you are so fat, I think you are a tweaker, dude. So, and he's like, I go out and make the rounds. Yeah, I start about 4 a.m. this morning. I like the whatever. And I just thought to myself, this is the system I like. Mm-hmm. I don't like the system where the man gets involved and assigns badges to guys with dispatchers who don't go outside of this jurisdiction or won't do that or don't. I just want a dude. We got three dudes. We will pay you to take us to the airport. It's like kind of a fantasy you have that you've, like, you always, like, you just, like, there's a part of me sometimes that just, like, Mike August was, like, sitting in the seat behind me. Mm-hmm. And the kid was, like, sitting next to me. And I just thought, like, I wanted to say to the guy, I'll give you $50. Just go sit in his seat. Little less knee room. Not in first class, but first, like, coach plus, So I want to tell the kid next to me, like, I'll give you $50. Just go sit there. And Michael comes in here. And then I want the kid to be able to go, I want $75. Mm-hmm. Or no. Or fine. Or whatever. Like, I love that. I want to live in that world. Like, I want to get to the airport.
I'd love to, but they don't.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, we don't because on the tickets printed, it's whatever. Yeah, he was driving this airport, and I think, I love Uber. Like, I love this world. I love this thing where we get to just go, hey, there's a dude in Nashville who wants to be up at 4 a.m. on Sunday driving people around in his Honda. Then I will give that guy this much money, and he will take us to the airport. It's just a better world. Yes. Like, we should be all, and it's also, it's like, hey, that guy, this is unregulated. That guy could kill us all by the side of the river. And it's like, he could, so could the cab driver.
Yep.
So everybody's licensed and bonded or whatever could do whatever, whenever, number one. But number two, the system kind of keeps things on track. He doesn't get paid if he takes us to the river and kills us. He wants to get paid. I'm assuming.
There goes rating.
I don't feel like we need, like, we don't need Big Brother to keep everyone in line. He wants to get paid. We want to get to the airport. I think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And Has it ever really not worked? Like that just general dynamic. Like you want this, right. I want that, I'll give you this. By the way, after I get to the airport, that's when you get paid, not before.
You'll take the infinitesimal chance that he's an axe-wielding psycho. Look, every aspect of your life, like
every place you go.
Every place you go, you take that infinitesimal chance that, okay, this person could murder me, but there's a very, very, very small chance.
I'll just make it to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
get the flight.
We went out to a famous barbecue place called Martin's and had the best brisket I've ever had in my life.
Wow, you're declaring it the best?
The best brisket. Everything was good, but the brisket just melted on your tongue.
Because this was Tennessee brisket, was it more tangy, vinegary? That's kind of their thing, right?
It had a dry rub, and it literally did not require sauce. And a high fat content and just melted on your tongue. It was awesome. I went in the same day. I went to Polish food with Kramer Chucks in Minneapolis.
Wow.
At 10:30 in the morning.
A little jet setter.
And then ate at Nashville that night. All I had to do was stuff in a 90-minute show.
How do you not have Crohn's disease? Like, no problems?
Give it to
stomach?
According to Wikipedia, he does.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, I read that there once, or somebody told me that.
Years ago.
My stomach, I'd be in the hospital if I had Polish food and then flew and had barbecue at midnight.
I don't, I'm trying to think. Let's break this down. Let me talk about LifeLock, but I really want to distill this thought for a second. I have thoughts. LifeLock. It's been 1 month since Equifax breach, man. They were millions affected. You may have already, info could have been out there for 3 months or more. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now's the time to get protection with a LifeLock. I have it. Sonny has it. Little boy. He's my red badge of courage, boy. Anyway, you should too. Lynette has it. Natalia has it. They have a proprietary technology. It detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but you're not going to have a problem. You got the best. You got LifeLock. And look, everyone's online. You're online doing everything. Think about all the football stuff you're doing online, all the pools and wagering and everything else. Let's get protection. Let's get LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam. For 10% off your LifeLock membership, visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. I don't have anything to do with my stomach. There's no way meat makes me feel or chocolate makes me feel. There's nothing that anything does to me. Ugh. Now, that being said, I can definitely feel the difference between having ribs and salad in terms of, you know, the roughage, kind of just a pure sort of biological, mechanical, whatever of it. But
no ailments come along
in terms of what stuff, like when people go like, oh, dude, eating the cheese, man, that's going to back you up. No, I can eat as much cheese as I want. Or they go, oh, Mexican, man, you're going to be on the pot. I have nothing. I never have.
Superpower.
But I also have no energy with anything. It's just give it to me. I'll eat it. I'll go to bed and I'll take a dump when I get up. Ed's parents' bed. Yes.
Take a dump there. You're basically just saying you're not Jewish.
Yes, I am. I have no. Here's my question. There obviously is some correlation between the head and the stomach. And there are, of course, there's legitimate people that are like, Natalia has an Asian friend that if she gets stung by a bee, will just go into anaphylactic shock. She's not faking it. It's not a head case. It's not psychosomatic. Also, she can't eat like soy or dairy or something. She'll start ballooning up. So, I mean, so if you kind of carve out the legitimate,
allergy,
just can't do this, allergic to nuts and whatever, breakout and hives, you carve that out. What percentage of people who say, like, oh, I can't eat, I'm going to bed in like 2 hours, I can't have a steak, you know, I'll be whatever, who making all the proclamations, are biologically different than me and Mike August? Or there's some sort of head space right. pushing They've this to something. Because Mike August, his dad's a football coach. That's all you need to know. He grew up in Louisiana and Denver. His dad coached football. He played football. And therefore, there's nothing he'll eat and go to bed. And he has no complaints. He has no any of these. Never makes a... He'll never tell you how he's feeling. He'll never tell you he's tired. He doesn't have any, I can't do this or I don't do that. He has no rules right. whatsoever. I don't either. That's why he's easy to travel with. But how much does the head play into the heartburn?
Well, I wonder if I think this is the same thing, but maybe you feel it. Everyone feels it to a degree, but everyone else is just way more sensitive to it. Like you're like, oh, I mean, like you said, I know I have a stake in me, but some people that is just too much to deal with. It's just way too sensitive to that.
Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy, yes. too? Like, you're like, I know this is going to do this to me. Thus, when it happens, it's confirmed what I suspect will happen.
Well especially if you get nervous about it and yeah, your stomach's all messed up. Yeah, you work yourself
to a state. It's also just years of being that way or being the way Mike August is, which is whatever. Like, at the end of the bar, at the end of the... So, you know, you're sitting there and it's 11:30 at night, and Mike is taking all the scraps from all the sides with the elbow macaroni and the coleslaw and the beans and everything and parts of chicken that weren't eaten and stuff, and he's just dumping it all on his plate, and he's spooning the whole thing into his mouth, and he's polishing everything off, and then I see him standing in Ed's parents' kitchen at 5:45 in the morning. He's just standing there. He's not like, oh, man, I overdid it. Or, oh, boy. He doesn't yawn. He doesn't blink. He doesn't eat a cup of coffee. He doesn't even do the, oh, God, Jesus Christ, man, that's a tight one. He just gets in the car and leaves. I feel like for him, it's a mindset.
That's great. I want to be more like that.
Yeah. It's good. Inspire. Yeah.
Just, you can start.
Just be it.
No, I do it. But people say to me, don't shake my hand. I'm sick. Yeah, I go, put her there. And they go, don't shake my hand. I say, we're shaking.
Like, oh, my hand.
Stop rubbing it on your nutsack. So, getting that mindset. Hopefully it'll work. All right. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. Dawson's going to talk up a song. Such a big hit, by the way, and people are so impressed. We're going to Dawson's toolbox now. Dawson, you're poised behind the microphone.
I'm ready,
and the song is going to be unveiled on you. Yes,
I have no idea what it is.
All right, who's going to drop that needle?
I'll drop the song. I chose this one because a lot of a request on Twitter, by the way, but also people wondering, is this in fact a tool? I struggle with this one, so let's hear Dawson intro it.
As we kick off another set here in the toolbox, remember, weekday mornings, listen for the phrase that pays every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Then we're going to call you. If we call you up and you give us the phrase that pays, you're going to win $100, my friends. That's right. I hate this song.
This song is such a tool tune.
It is a tool tune.
Yeah, of course.
It straddles the line for your tool tune and guilty pleasure.
Oh, Dawson's pissed. He doesn't know this song.
This song sucks, but it's also
I know this song, but I've had the incredible fortune of never having to play it on the radio.
Oh, lucky you.
Dawson would never go near this.
Is this the escape
club? Don't act like it don't count.
This is this song we were talking about in the hallway, which even makes it more double down confusing, right?
I don't know. Dawson's disgusted.
Should we go again?
You didn't think you were getting this song?
I thought I wasn't supposed to know what the song was, so I didn't think there was a way that that one would come up because we had just spoken about it. But
which is why I thought it was a clever choice, but Adam brought it up off the air.
A lot of confusion around this song.
I'm disappointed
in myself. All right, well, pick another tool tune. You'll get back on that horse. Let's get another tool tune. Can I tell you, what year did that song come down? Well, you can just pick out. Now, why don't we do this, Brian? Mm-hmm. Let's give Dawson like a mercy fuck here and get his confidence back. Okay, you know, you pick something from something that Dawson, that you know he would have spun quite a few times as a DJ. Okay. And can I tell you, Gary, what year did that Wild Wild West song? Because I remember exactly where I was, not the first time I heard that song, but when that song was super popular. Like, I was driving in my Nissan pickup truck back from Canoga Park, where I worked at Tom Johnson's he had a cabinet shop, and I was living in like North Hollywood, and I had no air conditioning, like a bench seat and everything. And I was just, I'd work in his cabinet shop, or we'd work building in Canoga Park like all day, and then get in this pile of shit pickup truck and drive on the 118 back to the San Fernando Valley. It must have been like 85, 6, 88. Oh, 88. See, where is he? Yeah, I was driving back, and that song came on, and it was a Friday, and I was sort of in a good mood, because when you work blue collar, like, Friday is always good mood. Like,
right.
After work, Friday, it's like the best mood you'll ever be. It's like 5:30 on Friday. It starts to wane as you get toward the Monday morning. But I remember hearing that song, and I remember thinking, I didn't think Tool tune. I just went, this song's retarded, but I'm not turning it off. Yeah.
Don't you
listening to songs against songs ready?
Don't you get Escape Club and Go West and Fine Young Cannibals mixed up?
Well, Go West should have done this song.
Yeah, Wild Wild West. That would have been very appropriate.
All right, do you have one that Dawson can talk up?
Are you ready, Dawson?
Yeah.
We're inside the toolbox, my friends. Welcome to another set, commercial free for about 40 minutes. Hanging out in the toolbox with you, my name is Dawson, and coming up at 4 o'clock, remember, it's the 4 o'clock foreplay, where I'm going to give you four songs.
New York, is everything they say.
Again, look, I'm disappointed in myself.
Wait, right. We're going to spend the rest of our lives chasing that dragon, Dawson, because that was perfection, so don't be that hard on yourself.
I felt like it worked out fine, but it's a little premature.
But that's what I mean. The first time you did it the other day, perfection.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, here's the problem. We don't have classic rock in the Tool Tune department.
Are you kidding?
There's some bleed over.
All right. Well,
not Led Zeppelin or something.
Well,
like
all right. See if you can get.
Hold on, Brian. I'll give you a list.
Did you spin that Huey Lewis song many times?
On my most recent station, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I should have gotten that one.
All right.
But that, I believe, is a radio edit.
It starts off.
Because there is a much longer intro to that song. That song has about a minute and a half in front of it.
All right. Let's throw them some. See if you can go classic rock Tool tune.
Welcome to another set, commercial free, right here in the toolbox, my friends. Here's a duo that can sometimes be mistaken for a breakfast cereal. That's right, Hall & Oates brand. Daryl Hall used to have a fantasy and a fascination with the occult, my friends. Did you know that he believed that Aleister Crowley was very much like him in his younger life? Saxophone, a good thing here on the toolbox. One of the most underused instruments. Let's see how it go with Daryl Hall and John Oates. What's happening, folks?
There he is. He's back, everybody.
He's back.
By the way, Brian, you know I love you. You're one of the smartest people I know. I'm not sure.
Right,
you know what a classic rock song is.
No, I absolutely know a classic rock song, but there's not a lot of classic rock Tool tunes.
I'll email you a list.
Okay. All right. What?
I said, I don't think there's classic rock Tool tunes, and you said, there's some
a
crossover.
Little, there's a little bleed over, but it's going to be hard to sort of, you know, even think of like Led Zeppelin and the Who and the Beatles and the Stones.
I'll help you out. I listen to it every day.
Okay.
All right. There are a few Stones Tool tunes.
Oh,
probably.
Yes, there are.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Everything from Heart in the 1980s is a Tool tune.
Absolutely. Some Jefferson Airplane.
Not a Tool tune.
What?
No, just a bad song.
Working on another set of the hits here inside the toolbox. Time for a little falsetto mix. Mick Jagger, Way Up High. Squeeze him for me, baby.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take the 9th caller right now for a pair of tickets.
You guys got to watch Dawson move. That's the best part.
Yeah.
All right, Dawson.
Let's hang it up for now.
No, here's what I want.
All right.
I want you to... I don't know why you have to guess what song. It's too difficult. You tell Gary two songs that you would like to talk up, that you know well, that you feel... This is me buying my son a whore on his 16th birthday. Like, I want his confidence. He's never going to the prom. I'm tired of him beating off. It's costing me... The full water bill is going through the roof.
What are you talking about?
You tell me... You tell Gary what you want. You tell. I want the song that you've picked out to do this. All right, do that. I will. We got the game to play.
Also, I think most people would love a Sunny update.
Oh yeah, right. Sorry, Sunny home. Sunny was coming home from the hospital on Friday. Lynette came home from New York, got to the hospital on like Thursday night, Friday morning, like 3 a.m. or something like that. And then I went to, where the hell did I go? Nashville. Yeah.
Minneapolis.
I went to Minneapolis Friday morning. He got discharged from the hospital somewhere around noon or something on Friday. They went home. They're recovering, and he's enjoying his life and his dog at home, and by all accounts is fine. I've not seen the boy for a couple days because I've been on the road, but I think he's doing good, and he's there with his friends, and his friends are so sweet, and everyone's so thoughtful, and it's what happens when you have a neighborhood where like parents parent and they do their good job and they, you know, create little citizens. I mean, his friends are all fantastic, and Natalia's friends are fantastic because there's a mom and a dad, and they're like educated and they're respectful and they work on their kids. Yeah. Like, they don't let their kids turn into my friends growing up and then worse. I mean, there's Ray and Chris, and then there's people just shooting people in the face when they're 14 because they want their sneakers. Like, they don't let that happen because there's a mom and a dad and they kind of work at it.
And neither of those two kids would put their penises anywhere near Lynette's friend's ears.
No, and they don't even have landlines anymore, so we don't really have to worry about it. But this...
So much has changed.
Right. Dick in Kathy's ear. I don't know why we don't just understand this is just how it works, yeah. Mike. These kids are the greatest kids in the world. It has nothing to do with your background, your ethnicity. Once in a while, religion was woven in a little bit. For the most part, it's just good parents raising kids. And they're just, his friends are like thoughtful and they're sort of gentle and they're nice and they're respectful. And you can let them, you let them sleep over or go play outside. You let them do whatever they want because they're good little citizens. And then on the other hand, if you have troublemakers, there's not enough cops, probation officers, principals, security officers, metal detecting magnetometers, nothing. There's not enough if you're just going to have these people. There was nothing. I mean, you think about the troublemakers you had like in your junior high. Like, I had a couple of troublemakers in junior high and a couple troublemakers, you know, like just, they'd take a swing at a teacher or get into it or steal. So I was like, well, who stole the bike? Oh, Kenny Doyle stole the bike. Like, that guy, there's not enough supervision for Kenny Doyle. Like, it was just, oh, he's done this. Now he's done that. Now he's got suspended. Now he's in this. Now he's in that. And it's always stealing something, you know, yelling, getting into it, the teacher. Eventually, it turns into DUIs. And I had three brothers that lived next to me. Three brothers, they were like, one was my age, one was 2 years older, and the oldest one was probably 2 years older than him. The two youngest brothers were dead by 25. God. Just, driving, pickup truck, maybe there's some booze involved, got off the highway, that one's dead. The other one, I don't know, AIDS or something, like we never really got worked out. But just, these were sort of lifestyle diseases. Oh. And by the way, it wasn't gay. It wasn't like, oh, it was the 80s or whatever. They had girlfriends and unprotected sex with everybody and everyone freaking out.
Lived the lifestyle. For wasn't those things, it would have been something else.
Yeah, so you got three brothers, two of them dead. But they didn't get the one at, you know, 19, the other at like 25. Wow. This is white kids. They just come from chaos. And their whole, by the way, their whole careers were like, who stole the bike? Who got suspended? Who hotwired the, you know, I could remember just like, oh, somebody left the, like, somebody left, you know, they're doing road construction and somebody left like the bulldozer on the street, you know, to work on it. They hotwire the bulldozer and go up and down the street with it. Like, just that kind of thing, chaos. And that's what you get. Eventually death. or then into the system, or far worse, breeding more and just having a handful of kids and scattering those around and then leaving those for us to kind of clean up after.
Deal with.
As a society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can just stay together and you have Sonny's friends. Super nice, caring little citizens. All right.
Check on their friend and his black eye.
You want to...
His what?
His black eye.
You want to try one, Dawson? You got one?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. Let's do this.
Gary's pulling it up. I'm still incredibly disappointed in myself.
No, no. Not after this. Back. Not after this.
It's like cornerback. You have a short memory.
Yeah, you got to have a short memory. Out there on Dawson Island. All right. We could have never foreseen this coming.
Welcome to the Toolbox, my friends. We're kicking off another set commercial-free on the station that pays you to listen with the phrase that pays every weekday morning. Right now, it's the Wilson Sisters as we continue.
I've been nice.
Solid.
Know what you did there? You choked up, you made contact, and you just legged out a single. It was not an error. You choked up, you made contact. You were in a slump. You were swinging some bad pitches.
Choke up.
You weren't taking good looks up there. And it's, I think moving you from the four slot to the eight slot probably took some of the pressure off you. And you just slid up that bat a little. And you just did it like a good Chinese gal playing softball. Just boom. You started running to first before you finished a swing.
Thanks, boss.
I like that, man. And you got a little Texas leaguer. And now you're standing on first. A couple more of those drag bunts. We're going to slide down that bat, grab some Pantar. See if we can light up that scoreboard, yeah? This is a Tool tune.
Heart dove in deep into the deep end of the Tool tune pool in the 80s.
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
I got to tell you, I love some of these Heart 80s songs.
I got a similar one. If you want to try it again, I think I got one. That actually came up on Twitter again. Someone said, how about this? I'm like, this whole band's catalog is just Tool tune perfect. So, Dawson, you ready? You've done this one before.
So remember today, my friends, coming up at 6 p.m. We got another hour commercial free to get you home. Right now, somebody got a synthesizer for Christmas. That's right, friends.
The pitcher didn't have to underhand it to first base. He chose to throw over the top. Huh? Five?
It's apropos of what we're talking about.
All right.
Oh.
Hey, Corey, 31, Alabama.
Hey, how's it going, Ace?
Mm-hmm.
Bald.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the podcast. I've been listening for a while now. I got to say, of all the ones I listen to, this is the only one I constantly wish I could be sitting in and be part of the conversation.
Well,
now's your chance.
Give Mike August 10 grand. Come out here. Give your company a plug. Thanks, Corey. I love that. I love seeing everybody when we travel, and I love how people know everybody, and you know, it's when they catch me off guard every once in a while. I go, "How's Sonny doing?" or something. I go, "How are you?"
They're
like, "Oh, come on, I'm a fan." So, thanks, Corey. What do you do in Alabama?
I'm a machinist.
Yeah. What do you get an hour for? What stuff are you working on first?
Well, the company I work for, we make high pressure fittings. Most of our products we use are used on oil rigs.
I like that.
I love getting steak with all the fittings.
Fittings and oil.
Yep. Yeah. Supporting the oil industry. And you making a decent living for your family?
Yeah, I've been there about 3 years and worked my way up to about $18.50 an hour.
The machining, the guys who can weld and machine and do that stuff, fabricate, always in demand. Like just always busy, like just like a good straight ahead carpenter, just always going to be working. All right, you got a Tool tune for us, Corey?
Yeah, I wanted to see what you guys thought about the song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
I gotta hear it to remember.
Oh, please. Corey, did you tweet me this weekend?
I might have tweeted somebody
because someone asked specifically about this song, and This is the song when this comes on the radio. I'm like, oh, this friggin' song again.
Oh, the don't
by,
want
by
the
3
world.
Minutes up, by yeah. 3 minutes in, I'm like, and I don't want the world.
Yeah.
To be
yeah.
Here.
Well, the reason good, I asked,
I don't. We gotta start. We got to start a second glorious. Category, which is like self-important songs.
Sanctimonious.
Oh, this is
sanctimonious.
Like the Tears for Fears songs where they start with, you know, and they start talking about, like Tears for Fears has a bunch of sanctimonious self-important songs. It's aware of themselves song.
You put your lighter away.
Why is this song called Iris?
I think you wrote about a girl in Iris.
Yeah, it's tough.
I wrote for the movie City of Angels. It's not Cloud. I just want
you to know who I am. All right, let's take a vote. Dawson Tool Tune?
Yeah, it's a really good song, but you'd want to roll up the windows.
I'm trying to think.
You keep those windows down for Iris?
No, it's a good song. I don't like it, but it's a good song because I just feel like I don't like it. It's like there's nothing better than like when a 5-year-old comes in on Thanksgiving and all the folks are sitting around the table having a drink and they say something ironic and funny and the entire table busts up right. laughing and it's so great. And then the same kid comes back 2 minutes later for like a second helping of comedy. And it's like now you know they're yeah. aware yeah. of them. Like
the magic's gone.
You know what they're doing yeah. now?
There's a whole Simpsons episode about that.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, like Bart had a catchphrase, became famous for it. He started going to talk shows, and people got tired of it after a while.
Yeah, I feel once the kid's aware, mm-hmm. the whole naivete part, I don't know why, but when I hear a song where I feel like someone's like, this is going to be good, I get that feeling.
You know the song that just popped
Turned
into my
off.
Mind? Like that yes. sanctimonious, Runaway Train.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that
right,
going
right.
that category?
Good song, same thing, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, I want to sit down and write something important. I don't know why it doesn't really fit Tool Tune, but I wouldn't argue with someone who said it was.
I'll let the song answer three. For me. And I don't want
to see me. I don't Ryan says yes. Gina, what do you got?
This is 100% windows go up, and I would not turn it off.
Well, Tool Tune. That's Tool Tune. All right, I'm outvoted. All right, Corey, it's a Tool Tune.
Okay, well, because the reason I ask is because I was driving down the road yesterday, and I pulled up to a red light behind a guy on a big cruiser motorcycle with one of those really loud sound systems blaring this song.
This song?
That's
off a motorcycle. That's brazen.
In Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah, those have to be loud so you can hear it going down the road.
In Alabama?
Way yeah. back and forth.
You get yeah. dragged behind a truck for that.
We're better than people think down here.
I know.
What do you mean you people?
What are mics? Mike's great. And
I don't want the world. I wish you would come down here and do a show.
Oh, yes. Birmingham yeah. show.
Thank you, Corey. Noted. Sit next to Mike August with a couple of like local gals, like Ed's high school friends. Mm-hmm. And Mike had to keep making these lynching jokes. Like, I know you guys are famous for lynching down here. And the person who had a lot of civic pride was not.
Oh, man.
You know the 40, oh, no. you know the 40-year-old chick who doesn't know how to process humor?
Was Mike joking?
Yes, Mike was joking. Mike was joking, and the chick just kept going, we don't do that. We never have, you know? And Mike was like, yeah, I know. You got tired from lynching, so you took a break, God. You know? And they're okay. We do not. We don't. Like, you could, you know, you know, it's like your wife's friend who doesn't have a sense of humor. When you're a kid, it was your mom's friend who didn't have a sense of humor. And they, even if it didn't matter what you said, right. they'd go like, I know you're kidding, but you need to stop saying
that's
like,
not funny.
Who that person was yeah. that needed you to stop saying something. I don't know why you need, who is that person that needs to tell that person they have to stop?
Yeah, to
but she had
about.
A lot of civic pride, you know?
Yeah.
And Mike, like, in between, you know, every, like, rib and a half, he'd go back and revisit lynching.
Yeah, isn't the onus kind of on both of them on this one?
I was just like, would you shut up and let me enjoy my goddamn barbecue here, Mike, and stop getting in being a bee in her bonnet? He's sitting right next to you. Couldn't stop
to the friendly
bringing
local.
It up. Yes, like, who... She could have known he was screwing around, but I think she probably feels like we're from California and she's a little sensitive and she doesn't want us all think that that's what they right. do over, that's their history or, you know, things are a yes, little sensitive I right understand. Now. He could have just shut up to keep visiting that. The, slightly more comfortable, I must say, than the time we went out to lunch with Jimmy's friend, Gary, who's a radio consultant and has been doing it for 30 years. We're about the third time Mike said this sentence, terrestrial radio is dead. It's dead. Like at a certain point, I had to stop and go, Mike, that's what he does for a living. He consults radio stations. So please, this is getting, we're not. Wait, I can't enjoy my kebabs right. if you keep saying that out loud to the person who just said it. And by the way, if he owns a chain of dry cleaners and you keep yelling dry cleaning is dead, I would say the same thing. Or had a broasting joint and you said nobody eats chicken anymore. Like it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
I believe I got that statement instead of congratulations when I got my morning show job. From Mike August. In the car instead with of you.
Congratulations.
Terrestrial radio's dead. Enjoy your new gig. All right, let's see. This opinion. All right, then we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. Vince, 35, Sacramento.
Ace man, get it on.
What's going on? You want to know my opinion on people leaving their car running while pumping gas?
I'm curious about this.
Yeah. You always say, like, you know, you can eat or drink before surgery, even though they say you can't.
Yes.
Or, you can use your phone while the plane is taking off, even though they say
yes,
you can't.
This is the two. This is the four-wheeled version of the plane. Everyone's just sitting on the plane now on their phone, yeah. And you're like, I thought this was going to kill us.
Growing up, I'd always heard turn the car off. Never turn the car on when
yeah,
you come
I've,
in. Now,
I've never done this.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
Here, okay.
Well,
here's what you need to know, Vinny.
Yeah.
I know cars, but I don't know modern cars and computers and things like that. Couple things. I'm tempted to do this when it's really hot and I'd like to run the air conditioning mm-hmm. when it's super smoking hot. And I wish somebody would come up with an electric air conditioning pump that they would run. They have to have them. Tesla has to have them. All electric cars, the Volt, all electric, pure, dedicated plug-in electric cars have to have a pump. It's a tough turn. See what I'm saying? All right. I'm going to talk to Gina Grad
here
for a second.
Take that back a minute. Yeah. Roll it back.
Okay. So whenever you're asking for something like it's 100 and I'm going to Vegas. It's 100 and the temp outside's 119 degrees and I have frosty cold air blowing in my face all the way to the desert. That ain't free. Like it's like you plug in a hairdryer, you know, you have a clock radio and there's a digital clock and it's just a readout. That's not burning a lot of kilowatts. Right. But when you fire up the space heater, mm-hmm. that's burning kilowatts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And turning an air conditioning pump is a burner. Like it takes energy. You run that thing off the crank. The pistons are right. attached to the crank with the connecting rods and you run everything off the crank. Well, the reason you can't just run it when the crank's not turning is because it's a big turn. Like it's hard to turn that. It's a big draw
okay.
to turn that thing. But now they have all electric cars. And so they have air conditioning. So they must have an air conditioning pump that's running off whatever. Wouldn't this be a nice item? For luxury brands, you know, not bargain basement, you know, Civics, you know, with the cloth interiors. But I mean, like, high-end luxury cars where they had a separate motor and pump that could run air conditioning in your car when it was parked so that when you got into it after having it parked out on the blacktop or parked in the Costco and you're going shopping and it's sitting out in the sun, whatever, you got in, it was 128 degrees inside. I would be down with this. Now, I don't think, they always tell you don't run the car when they do it, but if it was truly dangerous or truly ruined your car, you could not run your car mm-hmm. while, like we always said about the phone. Remember 10 years ago, we said about the cell phone. They wouldn't let you take a cell phone onto the plane.
If it brought down
if
the
there
plane,
was one-tenth of 1% chance that anything could happen. Right. And you
interfere with the signal.
You couldn't physically bring it on, right. just like you couldn't bring on a stick of dynamite or a baseball bat or a gun. They just wouldn't let you do it. cars would work this way. Cars would work that when you pop the gas thing, if the car was running, the car would shut off, or you couldn't start the car with the gas thing on it. They would not let you do it. If it was a little bit dangerous or would somehow ruin the car or whatever, they would not let you do it. That's what I'm saying.
What about combining the two? I've been told it happened one time by a gas station attendant to get off my phone while I was pumping gas because that was dangerous. And I never understood that.
There's a static charge thing that is semi-plausible with that.
When I had a pickup truck, I remember I saw signs for like the static would build up in the bed of the truck and you had to avoid getting gasoline like in the bed of the truck. Does that sound familiar when you had a pickup truck?
Yeah, there's a whole static thing that can cause that kind of thing. So that person may have known something. Vince?
Save my life.
Oh, wait. Vince, sorry.
Yo.
I say dealer's choice. If you'd like to run your car and fill it, that's your decision.
No, every single time I do it with my girlfriend, the car scares the hell out of her. But that's not the reason why I do it. It's just
she loves the thrill.
It cracks me up.
Yeah, you like to scare. Yeah, I don't know. You're 35. That's going to stop like by March of next year. Like, there's some sort of thing that guys love to give a thrill. Like, you know, I used to ride a motorcycle. The girlfriend got on the back of the motorcycle. Whoa, here we go. Like, oh, slow down. Somehow that gets out of you.
There's a thrill playing from when you're on the motorcycle.
It gets out of you fast. I don't know why, but at some point as a dude, the scaring diminishing returns in terms of chicks.
Is it because the chicks aren't giving you the same reaction, or it just doesn't thrill you the same way?
There's something that guys have. They do it when they're kids. They scare other kids. And then at some point, they roll that into their first couple of relationships. Just weird. I mean, I know guys who've done the, you know, oh, he's laying on the floor. He's covered with blood. She opens the door. There he is. She's screaming like, oh, it's a goof or whatever. Like guys,
you know,
who've
guys who've done that?
I knew. Well, I had a girlfriend who did special effects makeup.
Jesus.
And she gave herself a massive gash on her thigh. It looked like a lawnmower accident or something. God. And I like came out of the bathroom and went like, oh, shit, no. And I tried to have sex with it.
Yeah.
And then,
you're only human.
Yeah, there was that. Yeah, there are guys who
inspire the scene at the end of The Hammer. It had to be rewritten, of course. Yes. There's a candle.
There is a fair bit of that. But at a certain point, you don't do that anymore. Like, I would never scare Lynette. Like, she'd just get pissed about it.
Oh,
like,
it wouldn't
be nothing in it for me. All right, our guest is here. I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Yeah, I understand why some of you might be a little put off getting home security. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Well, let's go with Simply Safe. Dawson, his escrow's closing in about a month.
Yep.
He's going to be moving.
Taking the Simply Safe off the walls, putting on the new walls.
That's what I love. And you can add some components to it if you need a little more. It's easy, man. And you get top-of-the-line protection, no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. Just order online. Set it up in an hour, and your home, your family, protected 24/7. Batteries last up to 10 years. Peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. You get 10% off by just going to simplysafeadam.com. Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get you 10% off. Get going. And by the way, they have it at Best Buy as well. All right. Let's see. Our guest is here. We got, let's play the Rotten Tomatoes game real fast, and we'll bring our guest in after this.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, in honor of your recent road trip, all of these movies are either set in Minnesota or Tennessee.
Ooh.
Nice.
Our first movie, starring Ned Beatty, plays a lawyer and a political organizer having difficulties in his marriage to Lily Tomlin. She's a gospel vocalist. And they're hanging out in the city's thriving music scene. What's the city? Same as the movie from 1975, it's Nashville.
This is one of those movies that everyone said, oh, you got to see, or this is really good, or super highly acclaimed, and I just never wanted to see it.
Yeah, I never saw it either.
I can't even figure out what the vibe is. Is this a rom-com?
It's weird. I think it got some nominations.
Is this a Robert Altman movie?
Yes, I think it is an Altman movie. All right, we got our guest here, so we're going to move it along. I think it was... my feeling is we probably wouldn't love it very much, but the critics did, and for that, I go 91.
Whoa,
close, 88.
I'm looking at a terrible poster. I said 72.
Nashville is certified fresh at 94%.
Shit.
Yeah. Audience 84, but 94. I bet you wouldn't think it was a 94% film if you saw it.
Saw it today.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Next movie set in Minnesota, starring Bill Paxton and Billy Bob Thornton Mitchell and his dim brother Jacob discover a crash plane with a dead pilot and more than $4 million in it in 1998's A Simple Plan.
Great movie. Yeah,
Sam Raimi.
And one of these, I don't know why, it's like, turn it on. Hey, it's Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo again. And it's like Dumb and Dumber or whatever. And it's like part two and then just inane stuff. Why this movie never pops up on HBO or Showtime or whatever. I love this movie. Okay. Who could have had a problem with this movie?
I was just thinking the exact same thing. Like, who in the right mind would give us a bad review?
In order to get it, you know, down to 90, a group of people, more than one, would have to see it as less than 60.
Yeah, give it a negative review. Less than good.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Okay. But we know they're out there.
I can't imagine. It's
a great movie.
Could it be 100?
No.
That'd be bold.
That'd be very bold.
I'm going to say 93.
92.
92 as well.
A Simple Plan is certified fresh at 90.
Just 90 straight up. Right. Oh, I should have gone with my stupid 10% example.
You had it right there in the palm of your hand. It's a fantastic movie.
Fantastic.
Gary Cole's in this, and he's great.
Heartbreaking like a ending.
Yeah, bleak ending, non-comedic role for Gary Cole.
A pox on the audience at 81, which is nice, but come on, what are you looking for out of a movie here?
Bridget Fonda, right?
Yeah,
she's great. That's a great
it's a great movie.
Guys, track this down. It's really good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Next movie takes place in Minnesota in the 1960s with a couple of guys I haven't heard of, but one of them is Richard Kind. I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the movie's from 2009. It's called A Serious Man.
I never saw this. It's a Coen Brothers.
It is. Coen Brothers movie is it flew under the radar a little bit. Didn't get like a lot of the attention their movies get.
Yeah, I remember the female lead in this movie was auditioning. She lived in New York. I was doing like a stupid sitcom on like NBC or something like that. And they kept saying, we're going to fly her back and audition her again. And I said, the Coen Brothers auditioned her. She's much better than all of us. She's fine.
It's called passing the audition.
She just got done doing a Coen Brothers film.
Got the stamp.
So we don't need to figure out whether she can act or not.
They got the
and
chops.
They're like, this is how we do it. Bring her back. Bring her back again. God, what was her name? What's the lead? This is like. Real great looking lady.
Yeah,
I can't think of her.
Remember, there's a single like big name in the movie.
No, but you'd sort of recognize it. All right, Serious Man. Critics had to like this film. I never saw the whole thing. I saw bits and pieces of it. I always enjoyed it, like any Coen Brothers film. I love Coen Brothers films. But Amy Landecker, right?
Oh,
yeah, Amy Landecker. You'd
know
you'd
for recognize.
No, I know her, but I'm saying at the time I was like, who's this person?
It's the only time I actually, I'm usually like super, super dense when it comes to any woman hitting on me ever. I could never give an example of it or people go, I was standing with her talking to her. She was my wife and we're just sitting and she said something like, do you know how to do any like woodworking or home improvement Ooh. Stuff or something like that? And I said, as a matter of fact, I love it and I'm great at it.
Not only do I know.
And she said something out loud. Like she went like, she said something like, oh, the good ones are taken or something. But she said it seriously. Like she's like at the point of her life. Like she was like 42, probably done with the guys with the berets.
Right.
Want to just do a regular dude who could actually fix a toaster sure. or something around the house. But she was sweet.
Guy you can
on. I like
her. She's transparent.
I like her. Okay. All right. Serious Man. Critics had to love this. But is it like, is it in the 90s?
I'm usually all in on Coen Brothers movies. And this one, I did not see what other people saw in it.
It got some Oscar nods or something. She got nominated, I think. That was one of my arguments for why she should play my wife in the stupid sitcom. She's better than all of us.
Yeah, let's fly her in and see how she does on camera.
All right. I'm going to say, this could be a critic darling that we didn't like as much. 89.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it is a critic darling that we didn't like as much. I remember Chris going bonkers for this, so I said 95.
Again, I shot low. I just don't remember it. I have no idea. 82.
No, I think it's like 95, and Brian kind of
98.
Gaslit us there with his, oh, it was one of my favorites.
It was one of my favorites.
A Serious Man is certified fresh at 90%.
Ooh! Yeah, so this is one of those movies where the people have it at 67, the critics have it at 90. That seems about right.
This is
right.
Not a crowd-pleasing movie.
But all right. Every movie so far, at least 90.
Yep.
Next movie takes place in Tennessee. It stars Christina Ricci and her forehead alongside Samuel L. Jackson. From 2007, the movie is Black Snake Moan.
You guys ever have those movies that are atop your queue or like on your list to see for years? This is one of mine. I've been meaning to see this. I've never gotten around to it.
Yeah, me neither. Kind of thing you could say that the critics kind of digging. What's it say? To save
his soul, he must save hers. And almost, I never said either. It looks like a Taming of the Shrew situation.
I don't know what's going on. It's got two thumbs up on the thing.
She's got a crazy libido. She goes on a sex romp after Justin Timberlake leaves her to join the military. He finds her beaten and left for dead, takes her in and holds her captive in an attempt to help her find a cure for her affliction, is sex.
We should take every hot chick and force them to do a really bad remake of a campy 60s or 70s TV show where they play the little girl, because she did that in like the Addams Family. Uh-huh. Right. And then forever they have to bust out of that mold by showing their titties. They got to keep... She turned into a sex bot because I'm for sure because she had to play the little girl. So we should take every hot chick by age 11 through 14 and force them into a super cheesy role. Like, hey, we're doing Family Affair. You're playing Jody, the younger sister. Or that was the dude. I can't remember.
You never walk. You only skip.
Yeah, you're playing Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. And we'll put your hair up in braids, and you wear a nice
a
little
petticoat.
Blah, and you get, because they always bust out.
Yep.
They always go south.
Oh, shit. Wednesday no more.
All right.
With the creepy guys, what he would say.
Yeah. All right. Now, okay. I think we're fresh here. I just don't know. I just don't know how fresh. Because this could be one of those things that critics dig that people don't like that much.
Or would critics come off as pervy if they gave it too high of a score?
67.
I may have gone too high, but people I respect like this movie, so I said 80.
I said 70.
Black Snake Moan is fresh at 66%.
You were what?
67.
Damn.
I got to tell you, I may still be in single digits here.
I'm definitely out.
You're playing a great game.
It's just this last one. I am in single digits.
Our final movie revolves around an annual beauty pageant in small-town Minnesota. Turning ridiculously competitive, this movie stars a Kirsten and a Kirsty.
Oh.
No?
No, we changed that out. Sorry, my bad.
Not drunk and gorgeous?
Can I tell you what the name of that movie was going to be?
What?
Dairy Queens. They couldn't get the rights.
Oh, it's Rupert Horse was going to be Dairy Queens? Uh-huh. Oh.
Interesting. I dated the woman who wrote that film a million years ago.
Okay.
Well, that one's off the list.
We're at Acme together a million years ago.
Oh, funny movie.
Yeah. My bad. We changed that last minute. Our next movie.
Why did we change that? Did we do it before?
Nope. No, it was just an audible by Lynch.
Okay. Wheeling is power.
Let's move on, move on. All right. We got another movie starring The Rock.
All right, I'm going to call Audible. Gary,
there's some home cooking going on.
He can do it, but all right, go ahead. All right, The Rock. Yeah, here we go.
All right, The Rock is a former U.S. soldier, returns to his hometown, finds it overrun by crime and corruption.
And corruption.
It's worse than corruption.
Yeah.
It's like a harumph.
Keep driving to Vegas. Don't stop in corruption.
So The Rock cleans house.
Heidi Fleiss is out there.
In Tennessee.
With her macaws. Yeah.
The movie is from 2004. It's called Walking Tall.
Now, I don't like this. I'll tell you why. Because I feel like Drop Dead Gorgeous is one of those movies that was fine, but the critics would have given it some extra points and liked it. And I would have felt a little more comfortable. I would have said high 70s, low 80s from the critics on Drop Dead Gorgeous. I would have said, well, let's say 79. But this movie, this is actually like a pretty, like The Rock is real compelling and his stuff's good. And it's a remake of Buford Pusser or something. They carried around. Joe Don Baker carried a bat with him and he smacked everybody. And this is one of those movies that, of course, it's not going to get critical acclaim. So it's not going to be 80%. But I don't know if it's 23 or possible like 59 or 55, because it wasn't a bad action movie. I think The Rock, they're not going to give it great notices because it's just this kind of movie, right. Which I don't like, by the way, where you go, hey, it's this kind of movie, so it can't be 100. Let's make it 100. Every category should be able to have
absolutely
a potential 100.
Yes. It shouldn't be hampered by its genre.
Right. I'm going to say 57%.
61.
50.
Walking Tall is rotten at 26.
What did I say?
Mean.
I said 27 or something like that. People had it at 60. See, they're being snobs. Like, it was fine.
Just for fun, what was the score of... we should all guess the score of Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Well, do you want us to reveal that so we can't use it in a future game?
There's
44.
20,000 movies.
44! That's all right, I can sleep at night. Right. I didn't know it was that. I didn't know it was that low. I thought it was nicely
campy
reviewed.
And
yeah. All right.
Our scores are in, and we have a winner.
Yeah.
Most importantly, though, we have a loser, Bald Brian.
Oh yeah. No.
62, man.
That's a decent score.
Bringing up the rear. Leaving Adam and Gina. Gina, you're a winner. In my book. In this game, you got second place with 60. The Ace Man on top of the podium where he belongs with 39.
Oh, I was in single digits going into that last one again.
It's always the last one. Going into it.
I was at 8. That happened, the time before I had a good run going. It's the last one screwed me. All right.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do.
Documentarian Adam Hutnick is coming in here. He made a movie, 30 for 30. I love all 30 for 30s. I love all 30 for 30s. It's called What Carter Lost, and we'll hear it, and we'll talk to him, and we'll get into that right after a little good sports.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One's presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Welcome to another week of sports, Ace Man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. For anyone out there who might want to hear a deeper dive on pro football, I encourage you, Nate DeMann, go over to Dave Damashek football program available on iTunes. You can check that out. We do a couple a week. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, Matt Money Smith, you know, that gang. Someday the Ace Man will come down.
I'd love to.
Here's the problem. Here's what people ask all the time. Why don't you bring Ace in on the DDFP? It's because I don't. I feel like I want you to let your freak flag fly. And I don't want you to feel like, do I have to be careful about this word choice, or can I make this inappropriate analogy? You know, it's much more, you know, sort of family friendly. That's all.
Yes.
And I hate to get in your ear, be like, hey, Ace, can you not do that one?
Yeah, you know, it happens to me a lot, and people say, no, this isn't a podcast. And I always tell people, look, I did Dancing with the Stars. Like, I get the difference between what you can say and where you can say it. You know,
I know you do. And I'm not like I think you're, because believe me, I get plenty of that too. Now, like, Dave, we know you're a wiseacre, but now this is like, what am I going to do? Hit people in the face with a pot? What do you think I do for? I don't hit people with a spritzer bottle. I mean, I'm a wiseacre, but I understand the environment too. But I just feel bad saying to you, putting a caveat on you. Hey, appreciate you doing this and everything, but just watch yourself.
Don't worry. But I've told on my show, but I don't think I've told on this, but it did remind me, every once in a blue moon, you get caught off guard. Like the time Vince Vaughn moved in next to me and we went out to a restaurant, had a couple of pops, and I was telling him the story about how the time I hated my last neighbor, the old man, so much that I swore up and down that if this guy's house ever caught on fire, I would never call the fire department. That's how much I hated this old man. And I said, and lo and behold, one day about 10:30 at night, the gate rang and it was another neighbor screaming into the speaker box, your neighbor's house is on fire. Call 911. And I was saying to Vaughn, as if I was telling a story about, well, I'll weave it back to sports, but one of the greatest couplets in sports was when Steve Largent caught a ball in like week two and was completely destroyed by like Jack Tatum or some guy like that, you know, back when you could lead with your forearm and foreskin and anything had a four, golf club, four, you'd lead with a forearm and headhunting with a forearm, no problem. And sure. It just took his head off. And then I think it was like Atwater, somebody like that. Maybe it's came a little late, but I feel like it was
those
Denver.
Are all those both those references kind of would work. So all right.
And at some point at the end of the season, he picks one off. He's now returning the ball, and now of course Steve Largent becomes the defense. And as this DB who beheaded him and basically stood over him, you know, mocking him 10 weeks earlier, as this guy's heading down the field, Largent just takes his head off. And it's the greatest, like, it's all you want out of every movie you've ever seen or any book you've ever read. Like, you'll never see it happen this way. But that was the great.
Boy, that's sweet.
Are you familiar with what this story?
I don't know the Steve Lark. No, I didn't know that.
Gary'll find the two hits. But
oh, I love this. This is the best.
I was acting like I was telling that story, and I was Steve Largent. Except for Vince Vaughn was my neighbor, and I was explaining to him that the guy's house was ablaze, and I never picked up the phone, and his face was changing. And I was looking at myself as like a local hero.
This comes back around, though, right, Adam, that you end up doing the right thing?
Never did call. I'm a man of my word. It's
I like the idea. I like you picking the phone up off the hook, doing that move that they do in movies where they pick it up and it... is that going to go towards his ear? No, he's just putting it down on the table. I love that.
Yeah, I also didn't do the math on he being my actual neighbor, that this could then, some of this residual effect could bleed over into his house if it was ever blazed.
I love it. That's justice. That's street justice. I can't believe
you don't know the Largent story.
No, I don't recall it, at least. I mean, maybe if I saw the replays of that, but
you will. I have a 2.5 minute kind of from a football life, if you'd like.
Oh. Well,
or I can just show the two.
Well, it happened again. It happened in what? It happened at the beginning of the season. Yeah, you can just show Largent at the beginning of the season, whatever hit he took from, I think it was a Denver player.
Football life, available on NFL Network throughout the season. How about that?
One of the,
It's a good show.
You can't stop watching that. I think I just saw Emmett Smith's one. All right, so we'll find that for Shaq.
Can I tell you, I have big news, speaking of street justice.
Oh, it is Denver.
You just found
here's
it.
The,
against Mike Harden of the Broncos. All right.
Here's the first hit, large and stretched out. Head.
And I was out before I hit the ground.
Head hunting. I mean, just hands first.
He kind of did that move where he had double forearms
double
running
forearms
into large.
And I mean, it's just double.
he blew him up.
Just double forearms. Now,
dirt infield.
Oh my God. Wearing like the kicker's face mask. And then later on, toward the end of the season, it was time for Seahawks to go back to Denver. And the same guy picked off the ball this time. And he's heading down the field. And he's just trucking down. You don't see this much with big black DBs in possession. Right there, and he just cleaned him. He cleaned him out, and he fumbled too. Back when the ground could cause the fumble,
mm-hmm.
which I like. My feeling is, if you get hit so hard that you're not able to maintain control of the ball when you get upended by a massive hit, that ball's live.
That's fine. That'll only muddy the catch rule even
I'm
further.
Sure.
That's exactly what we need. But then I like the cutaway to Largent's family in the luxury box. Yay, that was good, Steve. You got him back.
The player's name, by the way, was Mike Harden.
Mike Harden. That's a good name for a hitman. I like that quite a bit.
What's with the football move? My feeling is you caught the ball. That's your football move. He has to make a football move.
I like the move in what I actually like that would clear things up a little bit, I feel, is they should do like in college. When you're down, you're down. Like when your knee hits the ground, then you're down. The play's over. It presents weird things in pro football when the guy like dives and catches it. And then it's like, well, is it down or not? And then the guy gets up. It's always that weird anticlimactic kind of vibe to the play. Like, oh, is he's still alive? Oh, he's, yeah.
I'll tell you what's bad about that. It just happened a couple weeks ago, maybe a Thursday night. Either Monday night, Sunday night, or Thursday night game, where the receiver did do that, and the DB just sort of brushed his fanny while he was getting up.
Right.
And then we had to do a whole deconstruction of, was his knee off before the guy sort of haphazardly.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't like that debate. And like, it's like it's some grown up professional version of two hand touch. Like, I did. No, right. My middle finger on my right hand did nick you.
I think it was the honey badger. And here's my argument. All right, you physically made contact with his rear end a millisecond before his left knee came up. If this was electricity, it'd be fine, but you certainly couldn't have tackled him by tapping him on the butt. That's not kids tackle football.
Point, yeah.
Why is he down magically? That wouldn't have stopped him.
I'll tell you the funniest era of pro football. If you see just before Johnny Unitas makes the scene and Vince Lombardi and the ship is righted and becomes popular, just before that in the 50s, the rule was that you had to be down, not just down on the ground.
Stay down.
But you had to stay, yes. It was like when it was like an 80s action movie, like stay down. Like,
right.
You had to be down. And so the guy would get tackled, but like get tripped up and he would stumble a yard or two and fall down. And then three other defenders would just dogpile on him as he would try to get back up to his feet.
Right.
That's the funniest video. All right, listen. We're already through one episode this week, and we've barely gotten going here. Four more to go on Good Sports this week. Podcast One Sports. Damashek and Carolla out for now. Good Sports.
Hi there. My name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
company. We do.
Enough to work together
and
have three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No, that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because, of course, behind
every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, get it on. Rich man, poor man for you. Your car going to auction. Poor man, doesn't pay bills, gets repoed, goes to auction. Rich man, fancy car, auction it for charity or whatnot.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's a good rich man, poor man.
Very good.
No middle class guys at the auction. Adam Hutnick is our guest. What Carter Lost, ESPN's 30 for 30. It's, you can find it. You just go, like every 30 for 30, it's great. But I love high school football. So
this was on
job.
The other night.
Yeah. Nice job on
Thank
this.
Thank you.
Carter's the team featured in Friday Night Lights that's playing the team. What's it called?
Permian. Permian Panthers. Right?
Permian, yeah. They're the unbeatable
only the director
team
was here, you could tell
that
us.
They're playing. So how does it work at 30 for 30? Do you go in and pitch? Does somebody say, we want to do something on Carter and you'd be the guy for it? Or how's the
All
process
the
work?
All of the above. I've done things with them, with ESPN films that have started in each different way. An idea I have that I bring to them. Something that they know about that they bring to me. This actually was another production company that wanted to do the story that had talked to ESPN Films about it, and everybody was excited about it, and they said, find the right director, and they sent me an article about it, and I said, fuck yeah. I'm just excited I can see.
It's kind of fun for those of us who've seen the movie more than once to then find out the real team. And especially because it wasn't about the team that was featured in the movie. It's just their nemesis. So the story is these guys were like an all-black team, pretty much perennial powerhouse. And then there was some armed robberies that took place after the first championship, right?
The only championship.
Oh, that was the only
it
championship.
Well,
that was after they beat Permian then, right?
Yeah, so Permian also wasn't the championship. That was only in the
Hollywood
version.
Oh, that was
Hollywood
a playoff.
Version.
Oh. Right, yeah. Right. That's right.
But yeah, all of those things are true, more or less. Not exactly a perennial powerhouse. Definitely a super talented program, but never got to the big game. They always kind of stumbled and there was, you know, sort of the first half of the story is about the resistance they faced from sort of Texas football culture and the institution that was there, not wanting necessarily to see a school like Carter be in the big game.
What became of the three or four guys that got caught up in the whole armed robbery stuff?
There were six of them from that team. Who were involved in the robberies in a larger group. It wasn't just football players, but six guys from that team. They all, five of the six did time. One was only involved in one robbery and he was younger and he got probation. All of them, none of them ever got in trouble again. They all are doing fine now. Nobody had a future in football after that and several of them probably would have had a good shot.
Yeah, it was such a weird, I don't know if they were just sort of, I mean, I couldn't figure out if they're just feeling a little drunk with power after winning the championship or it's just they didn't seem – there was no part that said armed robber in the past. It just kind of started.
Right.
And
that's part of what's crazy about the story is there none of these sort of typical elements that you expect to see when somebody's going to go do stuff like this were there. They came from middle-class families, mostly two-parent families, no real criminal histories. They were, you know, but they were on a big pedestal. They could do no wrong so long as they were doing well on the field. And so that's certainly a big part of it. And I think they felt like they were living in a movie, you know?
I'm trying to think. Now, I was trying to watch the Tommy the Duke Morrison's 30 for 30, but my computer screwed up or something. I think that one's just online. One of the ones that came out before. They're all worth watching. They're all good. It doesn't matter what the sport is, it doesn't really matter. It's just they're all insanely well done. And so once they figure out you're a good guy for this stuff, they must have stuff down the pipeline, right? So
the last few years, I've been doing a ton of stuff with them just because it's worked out really great that every time I finish something, there's kind of something else cool that one way or another pops up. I did not set out to spend the better part of 5 years doing sports-oriented stories. I love it. It's definitely part of what I love to do, but it's just – there is nothing like 30 for 30, really, in terms of documentary series with this kind of platform and with this kind of hands-off approach where they really do let directors tell their own stories in their own way.
Yeah, it's always the best results. We always talk about that with all what's going on with Amazon and all these other platforms, and they just it's sort of like, if you got all the old recipes and then the new chef comes in the kitchen, you just train them. You know, I mean, you just go, here's all the recipes. But if you go, we don't cook, like Amazon doesn't have a restaurant, they go, you come in and you're the chef. Mm-hmm. The product's always so much better. That's right. We're really in a pretty good renaissance here. I mean, there's so much good stuff out there. There's so much good content.
So many outlets.
Yeah. When I did my first documentary film, there was no career path that seemed viable to continue doing that. There were a few that would make money, but it wasn't at all a predictable thing that there would be people buying docs, in the future and in numbers that you could keep doing it.
Yeah, it seems to me that back in the day, you'd hope you could catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe if you did Super Size Me or something.
Roger and Me.
Yeah, Roger and Me or something, which I really enjoyed that really funny Michael Moore
doc. It's excellent.
But if you could do Inconvenient Truth or something, if you could do something like that, somehow you could get rich making docs. But then for every one of those, there's a 2,000 and 500,000 you've never heard of. And now it's just settling into a bit of a business. Where it feels like the competent people, like the Adams of the world, can go make docs and just
all the Adams.
No one's going to get rich. You don't get rich on it, but you can go to work.
Right.
You're not just throwing money away and, oh, how can this is irresponsible. You got a family to support. Mm-hmm. It's like you can just go do a good job and sort of get paid.
I hope my parents are listening.
Competent. it's called What Carter Lost, and it's all part of the ESPN 30 for 30. And I think you can just go find stuff now, right? You can download it on the app. And like I said, I got to finish the Tommy Morrison one. That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Tommy the Duke Morrison.
When he had AIDS but didn't have AIDS?
Well, he was a real legitimate heavyweight boxer.
But I'm saying that's like an element of the story, right?
Yeah. He was a heavyweight champ. Then he got AIDS. Then he said he was cured or something.
Crazy.
You know which one, another one that comes up all the time that I never turn off is the Henry Hill one.
Oh, yeah. Can't. I mean, again, it's like there's not enough hours in the day. So what can you tell us what the next one or what's coming down the pipeline?
No, I've been doing I've had 5 years of being on at least one film at a time, often more. And so I just got married and built a new house. And so I'm not deciding what to do right away. Oh, I'm just doing the Adam Carolla show. That's pretty much it for this month.
Wish I was just doing that. Yeah. Hey, we're going to do the news. I want to throw it to an interview I did. There's a new show called Pet MD, and I got interviewed for just a couple of minutes talking about my 110-pound lab Philly cheesesteak and some of his medical problems. And I called into the show. It's a new podcast. I taped it a couple days back. I'll play a couple minutes of that, and then we'll see you on the other side.
Guys, you know what's awesome? I'll tell you what's awesome. The fact that I have Adam Carolla on the show today, and he is with me today to talk about his dog with the best name ever, Mr. Phil E. Cheesesteak. Adam, welcome.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, he's really just Phil. I somehow decided to call him Philly Cheesesteak, but yeah, he's named after Phil Dumphy from Modern Family.
Oh, and I thought he truly was named after cheesesteaks. Okay, I like that. So Phil was a Christmas puppy a few years ago, and he is, what, 110 pounds? Tell us a little bit more about him.
He's a black lab. He's just a big dude dog. He's got a big square head. He loves the kids, very easy, you know, good temperament, loves everybody, has no real training or discipline. He's just kind of a big, goofy sweetheart who just gets, he really just gets spoiled by everyone around him.
Which isn't a bad thing. I completely appreciate that. So you have a swimming pool and Phil swims. First of all, is he a good swimmer? And second of all, did you have to take any safety precautions? Because it can be, you know, if he doesn't know the ins and outs, it can be a little bit dangerous for them.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. The pool has a Baja shelf, which is that, like, area that's about a foot deep, and it's like a 10 by 10 foot square. So he can kind of stand there. He doesn't have to just, you know, jump in to the deep end, so to speak. And yeah, what we actually, there's a step, there's sort of a seat on both sides of the deep end. And my wife and I did make sure that he was sort of acclimated to be able to get out of both ends of the pool. And if he fell into the deep end or the cover was half open or something like that, that he could get out on the deep end side. So we kind of coached him up a little bit on that. And it's great during the summer. The only problem is when he throws himself into the pool and then 10 seconds later, he wants to come in the house dripping wet. That's the only tough part. But yeah, he gets ear infections from time to time, too, I think, from the swimming pool as well.
Does he mind getting toweled off? Like, is it no holds barred? You're coming in wet or not? Or do you give him a good towel off before he goes in?
We have a nice argument about whose turn it is to towel him off and then whose towel he should be using. And then probably twice a month, I dry myself off with Phil's towel, but I don't remember it's Phil's towel. And then I'm informed by my wife that it is Phil's towel. And then I pretend like I knew it was Phil's towel and I love him so much that I don't care.
Nothing wrong with a little dog perfume. I wear it all the time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's fun.
Does Phil have a favorite person in the family? And if so, who is it?
I'm going to go with me. And the reason I'm going to go with me is because I walk him probably more so than anybody in the family. But I take him with me everywhere I go. So when I go into work, he comes with me. When I go in Sunday to watch football with the fellas at the shop, he comes with me. So he's at my shop right now. So I'm kind of his limo service.
Yeah. You're the chauffeur. Every dog needs one.
Yep.
Tell me what your favorite thing is about Phil.
My favorite thing is he's big and the kids love him. And I always wanted a dog when I was a kid and I never got a dog. And I always wanted a big dog and Phil's a big dog. And when he just gets up and lays on top of those kids' bed and they just lay on top of him, they just drape themselves over him. He's just such a big load that it's so much more. I just feel like if it was a lap dog that weighed 9 pounds, I just don't feel like the kids would get half the joy they get out of this big, big brute. And then, when he goes in the swimming pool, that's just the best. Too, when he's sort of, you know, huffing and puffing and doing his doggy paddle with his big jowls kind of floating in the water. That's enjoyable.
Love it. Mr. Phil is delivering more love per pound than the average dog at 110 pounds. Adam Carolla, thank you so much for coming on Life with Pets. Love chatting with you, and please give Phil a pet from me.
I will every day anyway.
Thanks so much.
All right, so if you want to hear the rest of that, you can hear the rest of the conversation at the Pet MD podcast. You can check it out at Podcast One or use the Podcast One app or iTunes and hear the rest of the conversation. All right, Adam, we got some news to do. How about you hang in and crack wise and chime in and help us out? You ready, Gina?
Let's do it.
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad. The news with Gina Grad.
Well, not a day goes by where we don't get another update on Harvey Weinstein. So let me give you today's. Weinstein Company will hold its board of directors meeting next week, and it could get interesting because Harvey Weinstein intends to be there, and he's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
So last week, the board fired Harvey from the company he founded with his brother Bob amid all the sexual harassment allegations. Yet Harvey is still one of the company's biggest shareholders. But Weinstein's lawyer delivered a, quote, strongly worded letter to the board threatening consequences if Harvey is not allowed to participate, because apparently his lawyer slipped in a clause into his contract that prohibited Harvey from being fired unless he is indicted or charged with a felony. And at this moment, not happening. So meanwhile,
let's hurry up and have this meeting.
Meanwhile, the organization behind the Oscars have voted to expel Harvey following all the allegations. In a statement, the Academy said governors voted to expel Weinstein, quote, not simply to separate ourselves from someone who does not meet the respect of his colleagues, but also to send a message that the era of willful ignorance and shameful complicity in sexual predatory behavior and workplace harassment is over.
I was funny because I was talking to Mike August about this when we were out of town, and I said to him on Friday, I said, you know who's next? Oliver Stone.
It's going to keep trickling
down. I've only heard stories about Oliver Stone and this, and I just went back to my hotel room Friday night. It's like, there's Oliver Stone.
Popping off about, oh, man, I feel so bad for the guy.
Oh, Oliver's next.
Yeah, and Woody Allen.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Woody Allen said he felt bad for him, too.
It's weird. First off, if you've been up to whatever in this town for a while, you got to be nervous.
Yeah.
I have not been up to anything, and my name came up in a female writer that was doing the, here's what's happening now. What's happening now is female writer wants to make a statement that she was harassed, but won't say who did it. And so in the article, it just says she was harassed.
Also won't say on what show.
Or what show, but she formerly worked for my late night show. So now I'm the only recognizable name in the article.
That was insane. I read that too. The former producer for Too Late with Adam Carolla, which is neither here nor there.
Right. So in the whole article, the only recognizable name is my name because she's not naming the person that felt her up. So
she did.
If you're doing the math, it's pretty straightforward. I got to say, I would be a bundle of nerves right now. Like if I had some skeletons in my closet, and you don't even need the full skeleton, just like a femur and two ribs, like that's enough to make soup out of in this town right now, I'd be going out of my mind.
Yeah. What would you do? How do you get out in front of that? Are you just going to hiding?
Just jump from a bus.
Yeah, I just kill myself. Do what's best for my family. I'm fully insured.
You know, with all this talk about all this stuff going on, I don't have an agenda, and I don't have a point to this. I was just curious if this worked the other way. So I put a Twitter poll together this morning, and just not that long ago, it has 909 votes. And I said, serious question for dudes. Have you ever felt like you had to go along with a woman's sexual advances when you didn't want to? So far, 52% said yes.
Well, okay, you got to be careful. I mean, not you don't have to be careful, okay. But one needs to be careful. It's like when they do these things where they go, 107% of Black Americans polled says they've been treated unfairly by the police. It's like 100% of everyone I grew up with says they've been treated like treated unfairly. Like, have you ever been treated like? Do you feel when you're on the subway, people are looking at you or whatever? You got to be careful with those polls because you can. There is a little slippery slope, and nobody wants to go down this road, but it's when we turn everything into rape or everything into an unwanted whatever, everything, and then it's
right.
Then everyone has experienced
sure.
It. Like, hey, have you ever had a couple of beers and then had intercourse in California? That means you're the victim of... It's sort of the problem with broadening the definition of everything. And I mean, as people go, you know, Adam, you're a Neanderthal animal for saying this. But what I'm saying is everybody feels now like they have had this experience one or more times.
Right.
Majority of men, 52%.
I didn't think any man would either say that or admit that. Like, oh, we want it, whatever. And more than half were like, yeah, I've gone along with it when I wish
I
didn't.
How do you think we ended up with Tessa?
Well, there's not.
That was one of the reasons somebody cited.
This is just guys wanting to just sort of throw their pity hat into the ring.
I guess I was surprised.
And get some. Yeah. I don't think
imagine
there's
the cucks that follow Gina.
Yeah. But it's like saying, have you ever felt threatened?
Everybody,
and it's like,
sure.
Not me, but everyone else. I don't feel, because I choose not to feel threatened, but it's kind of your decision.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, there are threatening circumstances,
right?
But it doesn't mean you had to experience mm-hmm. one.
Right. That makes sense.
So now we're just taking the experience and putting it out in front of whether it happened or not. And then we're saying, have you experienced this like in your feelings?
Right.
And they're like, yes, I felt threatened. I felt wrongly done. I felt like the cops had done me over. I felt like there was unwanted sexual advances made by, but it doesn't always mean it's there. I think with Oliver Stone, though, we're going to find a little more.
Yes, and pretending Oliver Stone, I love your insight that like all it's going to keep trickling down, like Oliver Stone's next, like after Harvey Weinstein, the story's going to come out and people are feeling bold and tell their stories about whoever the next person is. We should place bets or at least put out an idea of who we think the next person is, the next person the story's going to come out, and all of a sudden more stories. I'll start off, Bryan Singer. Bryan Singer, the director. I've heard crazy stories. There's a bit of a left turn because a lot of it involves what?
Yeah, those stories are out there. Like they're in article form.
Oh, I didn't realize they're published accounts. But I've heard crazy stories.
Males.
Yes, involving other boys.
Sort of out there, I think.
Take this in the spirit in which it's intended. Adam Hudnik, our own guest. I'm just jumping in front of this one.
I'm looking forward to seeing,
you got to get the name out there.
Get the name out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't look worried.
Was I ever a writer on the Adam Carolla show?
Mm-hmm.
You better hope not.
That press release probably won't rise.
Here's an interesting one. A pick in the people's interesting. How about the first female?
How about
a Rosie O'Donnell
story in here?
She's a bully.
But this has to involve some sexual component, though, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, it could.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Ellen, all the big talk show hosts.
It'd be nice. It'd just be nice.
Judith Regan?
Wendy Williams?
Like a powerful
Judge
executive.
Judy!
That'd be awesome.
Judy Shineland. Well, speaking of celebrities, this story is from the other day, but really wanted to get to it. Angelina Jolie and George Clooney were recruited to play undercover international spies in real life, according to the Sunday London Times.
Really?
Yes, this is so crazy. It reminds me of the Sam Rockwell movie.
Confession of a Dangerous Mind.
Thank you.
Sorry, who are the people?
Angelina Jolie and George Clooney.
Okay.
So a former prosecutor for the International Criminal Court had a history of recruiting Hollywood elites. Clooney was supposed to find dirt on a former Libyan dictator, Muammar Gaddafi, by the way, who was killed 6 years ago. Meanwhile, Angelina volunteered to be the honeypot in catching African warlord Joseph Kony. The game plan was to embed Jolie with United States Special Forces. She'd invite Kony to dinner where troops would then arrest him.
This is brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prosecutor Luis Moreno Ocampo sent an email, quote, "Forget other celebrities. Angie's the one. She'd love to arrest Kony. She's ready. Probably Brad Pitt will also go," was part of the quote. Plan never came to fruition, but Sean Penn was another one that they looked at recruiting at one point.
Here's your next doc, Adam.
This is great. His response was when Sean Penn was supposed to spy on the Palestinians, he said, quote, "While you make the decision on Palestine, I'm embroiled in a decision whether or not to get a steam at the hotel spa." So I don't know that he was real interested.
Sean could make our list.
He certainly could.
What happened to Kony? The guy did the doc or whatever. He like outed him. Then all those posters or everything. And then there's footage of the guy running around on Santa Monica Boulevard, totally naked, out of his mind on like bath salts. And then everyone's shifted away from Kony and onto his back sack. So what happened to that guy?
Well, that wasn't Kony.
No, but
it was
the filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We shifted. It was a weird thing that everyone went, like, we got to get that guy. And then they're like, no, this guy's nuts. And they kind of went over to this guy. I don't know if he had a breakdown or something.
Still at large?
Kony's still at large.
Oh, Angie, get out there.
Yeah.
Forces are, they're dwindling down from, they're down to 100 from 3,000. You know all those movies where we have our special op guys go in and they do the thing where it's like, you're on your own, boys. You're caught over there. We disavowed any knowledge of your existence. He's a ghost. Mm-hmm. He's not acknowledged by the U.S. Why don't we really have the, like, if we really had those guys, wouldn't all these guys be dead? Like, how come we can't drop guys in and just take people out?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know we don't, no one wants to live in that world. I do. I like it.
The Hollywood star.
I'm like, oh, what if you miss Coney and hit one of his henchmen? All right. Yeah. Okay.
Still a win.
Yeah.
Using the Hollywood stars thing is brilliant because they get access, probably unfettered access. Yeah. If
they're
you
invited.
Meet. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, please, Mr. Clooney. By the way, I directed that movie with Sam Rockwell.
Right. God, I love that movie. Is it true?
The Chuck Barris thing where he was recruited by the CIA? That's what that movie's about.
Right, right,
Chuck,
right.
Gong Show.
Right.
I don't know, but we do know that Sean Penn did that.
With El Chapo.
I mean.
Wasn't very covert.
Nope. And didn't seem to help El Chapo ultimately, right. But I don't know if Sean Penn was a spy.
Right.
My favorite part of that entire story is when El Chapo left the tunnel after escaping from prison. I'm telling you, like, they're little indicators for how your town is doing, and this is one. We can talk about, you know, grade test scores, standardized test scoring with the schools, or how commerce and trade and things like that. I'm not interested in any of that. This is the greatest sign that your town isn't doing very well. He tunnels out of prison. He pops up like from a sewer manhole cover. He jumps on he commandeers a car, throws a person out of the car, just a random citizen, jumps in their car, takes off. That car breaks down after 100 feet. He then jumps out of that car and jumps into a second car. That car overheats in less than a quarter mile from where it was. That's all you need to know about that town in Mexico.
It's a real referendum.
Well, you think about it. Would that ever happen in Encino?
No. You'd hop into a Prius and go about 300 miles.
Yeah, whatever the range was. Yep.
If he manages to break out of the prison in the States, he's got much better odds once he's out.
That's right. That's what if I was comforting him, I'd say, if when the tunnel's complete in the United States, you jump out, you're going to get something with a bumper to bumper warranty, probably 100,000 mile powertrain.
Crumple zones,
airbags. Who knows what else they will have invented by the time we're done with the tunnel. All right. Let me tell you quickly about stamps.com. We use it here for all our shipping. Oh, yeah. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. Use your printer. Use your computer. Put it in. So they give you a scale. It goes up to 80 pounds. You put whatever you want on it, as long as it's under 80, and it will print out the exact postage you need to send that. They'll even send you a digital scale, like I said, and you can calculate everything. Enjoy Stamps.com with a special 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. So go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage. When are we going to do this, people? Let's not go to the post office anymore. We use it here. The holidays are coming up. You're sending presents and things around. You go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. Type in Adam. Let him know you heard it here. Enter Adam. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. In 1984, Barris, who I think died like 2 weeks ago or something, if memory serves, been so much death, I can't remember. Admitted
in March.
All right, died a few months ago. That he applied to work for CIA, but never actually did work for them. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind was his imagination, how it would have worked if he'd gotten in with the CIA.
That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Mexico, health professionals in Arizona are warning those traveling to Mexico to be aware of possible contaminated 7-Up beverages in the Mexicali area, according to USA Today. The contaminated soda drinks caused 7 people to become sick and has killed one person. Chris Barnes, a spokesman for the Dr. Pepper Snapple group, reassured that no 7-Up products in the United States have been contaminated. The company distributes 7-Up in the United States. But yeah, these poor guys went to Mexico.
7-Up market share. I feel like when I was a kid, dreaming about not going to Love's, the steak joint, for a steak, I made Mike Lynch laugh this morning at like 5 a.m. in Nashville because he was asking, I'll get back to 7-Up for a second, he was asking about the commercial. One of the other places I didn't go was the Pan Poker and Keno Society of Gardena. Gardena had these poker houses, you know, where they play their stupid version. You know, you couldn't play the house. Stupid version. You don't know any of this, Gina?
No.
Gardena's a dump. Gardena's a goddamn dump. I built I remodeled a decorative box factory there, like in the 80s when I was swinging. It was the worst 9 months of my life. Gardena is a goddamn dump. Like, here's how dumpy Gardena is. You drive through Gardena, the guy's selling big 55-gallon drum barbecue smokers that they, like, welded in their backyard, and they're just selling them out.
Entrepreneurial,
like, out on the corner. It's not – Gardena is one of the ugliest, shittiest, diciest places ever. But it's where they let them set up the poker clubs. And they had – the Hustler Casino. Yeah.
All right.
They ran a commercial in the 70s. Again, one more place me and my family were never going. But they ran a commercial in the 70s that was like, the Pan Poker Society of Gardena welcomes you to Gardena. And then basically the thrust of the commercial is, you don't have to come to gamble. You can come to eat. We have exquisite cuisine. Oh. And I remember being 11 and laughing my ass off because I knew what a dump Gardena was. And the one that always... They go, the Palomino, Italian cuisine, exquisite. And then they go, the horseshoe. You're on the French Riviera. When I was nine, like, going, you are not on the French Riviera. Do we have that commercial?
Maybe.
Please. Maybe. It made me laugh.
The Poker and Pan Casino Association of Gardena features the restaurants of the El Dorado. One or the other of our fine restaurants at the El Dorado are open 24 hours of every day. Here, the preparation and serving of fine food and beverages is an art form. To get to the El Dorado in Gardena, take the Harbor or San Diego Freeway off Redondo Beach Boulevard on Vermont. The El Dorado Restaurants, members of the Poker and Pan Casino Association of Gardena, welcomes you to Gardena.
Yeah, the next one was, the other one is, you're on the French Riviera.
Anytime you hear that song, there's always a gunfight in a saloon at the end of it.
Such a honky-tonk.
Yeah, someone's going to get a cheat. I would like one guy to accuse other guy of cheating and very daintily slide his chair back just once instead of marring up the wood floor and sliding a chair back. There's chair with gusto always goes sailing backwards. All right, 7-Up, in the mid-70s, what market share do you think 7-Up had versus the United States, let's just say?
Now, having been alive then, I'm going to guess there was no Sprite, there was no Slice, so I'm going to say, and drink 7 and 7s and stuff, I'm going to say 25, because, you know, they're still Coke and Pepsi, 30%.
Yeah, I feel like it was up there. Yeah. Do yourself a favor, go for the squirt next time you want a 7-Up. Squirts are unbelievably good, but
does it have like a little grapefruit action?
Yeah, squirt in a bottle. Yeah, I feel like 7-Up has dropped way down in the power rankings now.
It's had its share eaten away, like I said, aforementioned Sprite and all that stuff.
No Fresca guys here.
Fresca's
I love
good.
A good Fresca.
Fresca's very Jewy.
Yes.
Why is Fresca Jewy?
I don't know.
My Jewish grandfather, is big into Fresca. It's like it's come up at the meetings. Like, what goes on with the Jews and Fresca?
Yeah, if we have enough people for a minion on Saturday morning, everyone gets a Fresca.
Okay, that makes sense.
Fresca's good. I don't think it's as good as Squirt.
We might need to do a taste test because I think it's superior to Squirt.
Is there still Squirt?
Yeah, Adam had one the other
bite
day.
Bite your tongue. Squirt's question. Around.
Sierra Mist is also up in the mix. I like that one.
Oh, really? Mellow Yellow?
That's a good lemon lime drink.
They don't have Mellow Yellow out. They never had Mellow Yellow out here. All right.
We've got to get them all
that
in.
I think Carl's Jr. What is to Hardee's is what Mountain Dew is to Mellow Yellow.
Yeah.
Here.
That makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. So here you'd go to Carl's Jr. and have a Mountain Dew, and there you go to Hardee's and have a Mellow Yellow. I think that's going to do. Right. Now we got to do the Fresca Squirt taste test. I'm
blind
I got my money
test.
On Squirt, but all right.
Put them in Dixie cups.
Let's do one more.
All right. Well, some stuff signed by O.J. Simpson has hit the market, according to TMZ. Helmets that Simpson signed just 10 days ago are up for sale from Steiner Sports with the asking price of around $500. Steiner insists it did not hold the secret autograph session, but simply bought the helmets from a third party. There's no proof that O.J. actually got paid for these autographs. That income would likely go to the family of Ron Goldman, thanks to the wrongful death judgment. But somebody is hot to make this money right now that he's out of jail.
If you're the Goldman family, would you? All right. He's been in jail. What is he in jail for? 9 years?
For this last thing? Yeah. I think so. Something like that, right?
Yeah. It was supposed to be like 33. And, yeah.
So I'm assuming if somebody killed my daughter, I just never want to hear that person's name. Like, I would hope that they just go to the electric chair the next day. But if not, I whether they're in prison or on a golf course, I just hope never to see them or hear their name again, because every time it would have to remind me. Obviously, OJ's not capable of this. The poor Goldman family, just it's a constant guess who's in the news, guess who's in the news, guess who. And then you have that feeling where everyone around you has to look at you now because they have to be thinking. It's what happened with me when Kimmel hosted the Oscars. Everyone looking at me. So you think if you could make a deal? Now, he's got 9 years in the joint, but now he's out.
Right.
Do you think they're happy he went for 9 years, or would have liked him just to go, like, in shame, I'm going to move to Palm Springs and you'll never see me
again?
I'll
bet they're happy he was in jail for 9 years. He wasn't at an autograph show. He wasn't in the news, other than he's in jail still.
Shaming.
I think they probably appreciated 9 relative years of quiet.
But if it did. Yeah. But then all the, when's he going in and when's he getting out and all that kind of stuff.
Pick your poison.
Yeah. I just feel like it's such a horrible thing to experience that this person that killed your kid is now constantly, you just turn on the TV and he's right there.
Well, and I think about that too when families feel like they did or didn't get justice or whatever for, say, a child that was killed. They have to show up every couple of years for that guy's parole hearing and relive it to make sure he stays in prison.
Sharon Tate's mom has done like 11
exactly.
parole
yes.
hearings or something. Just sit there with Charles Manson. Like, we're so weird, right? Yeah. Like, just
this ridiculous dance every few years.
Yes. All right. Let's kill him. But
do you think OJ will try to steal these helmets?
Oh, that'd be nice.
He doesn't learn a lesson very well.
I'd be curious to see if he does the sort of self-destruct thing. Like, I'd be curious if he... I do have this theory that sometimes people may say they're innocent and may want their freedom or something, but there's a part of them that like almost won't rest until justice is served. I don't know how the guy's wired. I mean, like a sociopath, but I just wonder if he'll get into trouble again.
Do you think there's a chance, since he's kind of buddy buddy with Dennis Hoff, he'll go full Lamar Odom and just sort of bottom out at the ranch?
That's interesting. Yeah, he may go full Lamar Odom.
We'll see.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
The two dudes that have ever been in the room with, let's see, here's my top three for most musk produced by a man. We got the aforementioned Dennis Hoff. A lot of musk.
Yeah, steamy.
He's pushing
in here.
A lot of pheromones out, that guy. You know, I mean, you've been with as many ladies. A
lot of action.
In that realm, the great Ron Jeremy.
Oh, sure.
He's
also
the first
been in
the
hedgehog.
Yeah.
Is out there. And then, didn't we have George Clinton? I think was on
Loveline.
Oh, that's legend.
That.
They're all robust, virile men. Who have a kind of on-again, off-again relationship with hygiene and who produce a lot of musk. Like, there's a lot of testosterone coursing and a lot of hair. You gotta have big hair.
You know who produced a lot of musk for not being a big guy? Like the most musk per pound? Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh, wow. Boy. God Lemmy rest his soul. Yeah.
Good.
Per ounce.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a honey badger of musk.
That's
like,
right.
Not the biggest, but the most ferocious. Take down a water bison.
You don't want a Conor or a Lemmy.
Yeah, I forgot. Lemmy. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, did we bring it home?
We did.
All right, well, I'll tell you about True Car, man. True Car. You want to buy new, you want to buy used, you go with True Car. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Our own Chris Maxipata went out and got himself a Prius with just 200 miles on it. So, it's used, but new, practically new. So, whether you're looking for new or you're looking for used, you get upfront pricing, info, discounts off list price, and a better buying experience. You see what other people paid for the exact same car, apples to apples, brand new, or one of the ones Chapo commandeered over there. Either way, you find out what everyone paid, and then you lock in your price, you get your certificate, you go into your certified dealer, and you pick up your new ride. So when it's time to get a car, whether it's new or previously owned, you go with True Car. True Car, visit True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right. Thursday is Bakersfield sold out. Bakersfield's going to sell out October,
very close, yes.
October 26th. We're doing a live show in Bakersfield at Temblor Brewing Co. And I think that's a company that's going to sell out. So get on that. Oxnard, Levity Live. That's November 13th. November 12th. The 29th, me and Prager, that's November 29th at Brooklyn Theater, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. So come out and check that out. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just excited because we're getting sort of deliciously close to the cruise.
Yes, the cruise is coming up. Talked to some fans last night that are coming along. Also, you can see some of my docs over at chassis.com. King of the Underdogs. Mike watched it on the plane, by the way.
Really?
Behind me. Mm. Pronounced it was good.
It is good.
Adam Hudnick, everybody. He's got a doc out, too. What Carter Lost. Very good. If you love the 30 for 30 series, you will not be disappointed. And you can download it on the ESPN app or see the doc that way and shoot him a tweet at Adam Hudnick. That's two O's, a T, and just the Nick. Good to see you, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Adam Hudnick, Gina Grandball, Brian Saint. Mahalo. When you're in loves, the whole world's delicious.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give us a phone call, jingle. Leave us a message at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.